Hello, everybody. What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of Last Stop Waterfowl Outdoors Podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Robery. And guys, it is a beautiful, beautiful Monday afternoon here in South Louisiana today. And we're sitting at a comfortable, very comfortable 73 degrees this afternoon. So we went from a rainy last couple of days and a little humid here, looking like spring was just around the corner. And that heat was about to get kicked up here in South Louisiana. So now we were sitting in the lower 60s this morning, and we're warming up to about 73 right now as we are sitting here at 1:20 in the afternoon, guys. So I guess winter's not completely done yet. I know we're waiting on spring, a lot of us. A lot of people like that warmer weather, but it's not here yet. Looking at the temperatures for this week, it's going to be a little cool. So good to see that. I like it comfortable. I like the humidity levels down. And, you know, I'm a big guy, man. I don't like that humidity. It don't go well with us big guys. So, but I hope everybody's doing well. If you are tuning in on any of our podcast streaming platforms through audio, thank you so much for joining in. And if you're watching us right here on our YouTube channel or Facebook, we also would like to welcome you in, guys. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Now we are well underway into season 7, and man, time flies. So we didn't do an episode last week. We were a little tied up. We had a lot going on our plate last week, but wanted to get back to it this week, get with all of you, and talk a little bit of outdoors, man, what's been going on and stuff. So to be honest with y'all, we haven't really had a whole lot. My family hasn't had a whole lot of time to get back outdoors because of the weather. This weekend, I was hoping to get out there and do a little bit of fishing. And that we weren't able to do so because the weather was bad this weekend. We had quite a bit of rain come through Louisiana this weekend, and that kind of kept us indoors. But we were able to get outside, get out of the house. And we headed on over to the Louisiana Outdoor Expo, which was held at Lamar Dixon Expo Center right here in my hometown of Gonzales, Louisiana, where I reside at now. And that's always a show that you know, it's been going on for quite some time now. It used to be the Louisiana Sportsman Show. So those of you who are familiar with Louisiana Sportsman Magazine, Louisiana Sportsman TV, there was an independent show that was held by them for years at Lamar Dixon. And then they kind of moved the locations this year. They moved that show over to the Raising Cane's River Center downtown in Baton Rouge. But a couple of years ago, the Louisiana Outdoor Expo also was created, and they have been hosting their show at the Lamar Dixon Expo Center here in Gonzales over the last couple of years since they got their show going. And it's good to have these outdoor shows, you know, in our area, guys, because it does bring a lot of people, a lot of attention to the area. It brings business to the area, whether it's the hotels, the local restaurants, all that type of stuff. And I usually enjoy going to these shows. It seems like back in the day, I really looked forward to them. You know, being in the outdoor industry myself as a profession, in the boating industry, which we're going to talk a little bit about today on this episode, I was in that show as a dealer for many, many years, and we always did the boat shows down at Lamar Dixon. And that's when boat shows were real big, and, you know, that was the big craze, was going to the boat shows to see all the new product, all that type of stuff. But that's kind of changed a little bit. It seems like yesterday when we went to the show, you know, to check it out and kind of see what was there, my dealership was not participating in it this year. We did an in-house boat show at our dealership a couple of weeks back, and we decided to take that route this year instead of going to some boat shows. And that worked out pretty well. And when I went yesterday and I visited, I kind of checked out what was going on with some of the other boat dealers. And it seems like there was a lot less dealers at the show than there had been in the past, guys. So, you know, of course, with COVID and with, you know, lack of inventory and production issues, all that type of stuff, I think a lot of dealers kind of had to go other routes to be able to, you know, move product and sell their boat lines and you know, their motor lines and all that type of stuff. And I think a lot of dealers just didn't necessarily with the, you know, technology that we got now with social media like we're doing right here, or whether it's your YouTube pages, your YouTube channels, or you know, whatever social media you partake in, I think a lot of dealers are utilizing that now to get in touch with their customers. And customers have a much easier way to shop from the palm of their hand on their smartphone or their tablet or their PC. If they're at work, they're shopping a lot of times. And we get a lot of business from customers that are shopping online and through their phones nowadays, you know? So going to a boat show is not necessarily something that you have to partake in now as a dealer as compared to what it once was, you know? So, looking at the show yesterday, my point being is that it seemed like there was a lot less dealers that were there. And I'm sure the dealers that were there had some success. When I got there, it was kind of late in the day. It didn't seem like there was a lot going on yesterday afternoon, but that was about 2 hours before the show closed on a Sunday afternoon. So usually when these shows, you know, are happening, Saturday is going to be the big day, typically, especially when you got good weather. And Saturday, it seems like the weather here in Louisiana was a little bit better before all that rain moved in on Sunday. So, but I was kind of taken back by the downsize of the show. Basically, there wasn't as many vendors I found as a whole, not just boat vendors, but as a whole, there was less vendors at the show than it seems like there was in years past. And I could be wrong on that. I could, you know, it just seems looking at it, walking through, that it was a lot less vendors as a whole, participating. So one thing I do know, guys, is the apparel business must be strong right now, because there is a million companies out there, waterfowl companies, hunting companies, you know, deer hunting, whatever it is, fishing companies that are making apparel right now. And everybody has a brand. Everybody has designs that they got. And they all were there at the Louisiana Outdoor Expo this weekend. It seems like every booth that I came across had some sort of apparel in it. They were pushing hats, t-shirts, that type of stuff. And man, that's got to be very competitive, you know. And I do get a lot of people in the past, since we started, you know, Last Stop Waterfowl, they asked us for years. They said, man, why don't y'all get apparel? You know, do y'all have apparel? And really what held me off on that was just it's so oversaturated, guys. Not to say that it doesn't sell. You know, I'm sure some companies sell quite well, but there's no way that everybody's making money and being profitable on that when there's so many companies out there that are kind of pushing the same thing, the same style hats, maybe with a different logo on it. And we do have merch nowadays. You know, it took me about probably 3-4 years before I got some kind of merch, you know, to be able to kind of promote, you know, Last Stop Waterfowl. But I really don't push it a ton because I have a third party company that I design it, but they make it and they push it out to the customer. And it is a little something to have if somebody wants something with the name brand on it. We have it available. I do design some new designs every year before hunting season kicks up. But it's not my point is it's not my main thing that I focus on as far as the podcast goes. It's just a little bit of advertising for the brand. So I try to spend more time into the podcast itself, into giving you guys content, whether it's on our YouTube channel, our Facebook page, TikTok, that type of stuff. Me and Jackson work hard as far as that goes, and we try different things in those realms as well. So, there was a ton of apparel companies. Most of the expo was apparel companies in there. And of course you got your local stuff like your knife makers, you know, all that type of stuff. I was really, from a waterfowl standpoint, I was kind of disappointed because there wasn't a whole lot that was, you know, pertaining to waterfowl hunting. And in the years past, they had companies making, you know, nice leather totes. They had, you know, decoy carvers there on site that were carving decoys and, you know, that type of stuff. They had some beautiful taxidermy. And really, I didn't see a ton of waterfowl stuff yesterday. So I was kind of disappointed with that. Because that's something I went to look forward to and see, and just didn't have a whole lot of it. As a matter of fact, I was gonna film some video, guys. I brought the camera with me, and I kind of started filming some you know videos to be able to put together in a video to kind of highlight some vendors and stuff like that. And when I went back and looked at it last night, I really wasn't impressed with it a whole lot. What I had and what we were gonna show, and I said, well, you know what, we don't have enough content really to put out anything so that I found was interesting. So I went ahead and I scrapped the little bit of footage I had taken there and we'll hopefully shoot for another year and do that, you know. But I did talk to a couple of local vendors that were based here in Louisiana that I got to meet with that I hadn't had a chance to meet or come across before, and got to talk to them. And they are some local companies that make product for outdoorsmen here in Louisiana. So that was interesting. We talked about collaborating on future podcasts. you know, and getting together to tell you guys about their businesses, especially these new companies that come into the industry, because there's a lot of great inventors. There's a lot of great products that come from right here in Louisiana, but not only here in Louisiana, guys, outdoorsmen all across the country. I mean, there's new products hitting the market all the time. So when you can catch a company that's trying to make a name for themselves, they have a new innovative product, something that's cool. Then that's, I love to talk to companies like that and have them on the podcast and get them on and kind of introduce their product to the world. So that's always interesting. So if you're a new company out there, especially pertaining to waterfowl or, you know, even if it's fishing or deer hunting, whatever it is, anything outdoors related, then hell, hit us up anytime. And we'd love to, you know, talk to you guys about collaborating and possibly getting together for a podcast or just to kind of see what the product's about. And if it's something that is good that a lot of people could use, then yeah, man, you're worth getting your name out there for sure. I know that's what your ultimate goal is. So that's always a cool possibility when that occurs as well. So that was the bright spot, I would say, yesterday of what I saw there, meeting a couple of those people and striking up a little relationship with some new vendors and some new companies and talking to some pretty cool people overall. So that was pretty neat. So, but that's really about all we got to do this weekend, guys, between work and the rain. Like I mentioned, the outdoor expo was something that we went to and we kind of got out of the house for it there too. But on this episode, guys, I wanted to talk about purchasing a new boat. So that's a big part of a lot of your interest as far as outdoorsmen go. Whether you're an avid boat buyer or you bought boats throughout the years, or you're maybe going to be a first-time boat buyer, you know, that is my specialty. That is my profession. I feel like I could bring some information to that topic and to that subject that could possibly help people. And whether that's you're buying a boat for me personally, if you know me or you don't know me, it's not just to push what I sell, but it's just to help you out in general, guys. Because as waterfowl hunters, as outdoorsmen, any kind of hunter, most of us are also boat owners, you know, for the most part nowadays. So we get a lot of questions. I do find that a lot of people are very timid, especially new people coming to the market as far as looking to buy a boat. Maybe, like I said, it's their first boat purchase. excuse me, guys. But I get a lot of people that I find are timid. They don't want to necessarily ask questions sometimes. So a lot of people go to the internet. And, you know, on the internet, you're going to get a wide variety of opinions. And, you know, it's not always the most accurate information, but I'm as guilty as anybody. I go to the internet, I read reviews, you know, that type of stuff. But what I want to touch on in this episode, and I kind of do this every year, is what to expect if you're looking to buy a new or used boat in 2024, because now, since we are now out of the pandemic, you know, manufacturers are really starting to get back to normal as far as being able to pump out inventory to dealerships. So if you're a possible boat buyer in 2024, it's going to come down to two things most of the time. It's going to come down to either A, you are looking for a pre-owned option, or B, you don't want to mess with pre-owned and you want to go brand new, you know? So what I want to discuss is kind of what to expect. If you're looking at walking into a dealership, if you're looking, whether it's used or new, a lot of it kind of plays hand in hand with each other, especially in the boat business. It's a little bit different than the car business because how many times, you know, you've gone to buy a car and they'll tell you, they'll say, well, you know, we could get you a lower interest rate on a new one as compared to a pre-owned. You know, and that often plays true in that situation when you're talking about automobiles. But in the boat business, that isn't always the case, guys, because a lot of times, whether you're looking pre-owned or you're looking new, a lot of the interest rates stay the same, the payment terms stay the same. You know, so a lot of it kind of crosses over between used and pre-owned. So there's a lot of myths out there, you know, that I could address and I could answer questions for you guys. And even if I don't touch on it in this episode today, if you have questions that you want to reach out to me on, then leave a question down in the comments and I'll read them and I'll get back to you guys to help you out as best as I can. But yeah, if you're looking, you know, for a new boat in 2024, guys, some things have changed quite a bit over the last couple of years. I can tell you this first and foremost, that if you're looking to purchase new or used, then the banks have gotten quite a bit tighter. And what I mean by that is those days of having kind of subpar credit scores, that type of stuff, it's a lot tougher in 2024 and really the end of 2023 to get approved on financing for a new boat as it was or as compared to what it was a couple of years ago. Because, you know, right now you hear all the stuff with the economy and all that stuff, and we all sick to death about hearing the politics side of it, you know, and who's causing this and who's causing that and inflation and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, all that unfortunately does play a factor into you buying a new boat or a pre-owned boat as an outdoorsman, you know, or anything as a consumer for that matter. But it has gotten quite a bit tougher, and I'm not saying it's impossible. That's not what I mean by that. But if you're subpar credit score, typically I get a question. They say, what is the cutoff for me to have credit score wise to be able to purchase a boat, you know? And from what I've seen over the last couple of years is basically that 650 credit score range. If you are around 650 or below, it's going to be a little bit tougher going into a dealership and purchasing a new boat or a pre-owned boat from a dealership. Because oftentimes what happens is a lot of dealerships partner with some national boat lenders, such as, you know, White River Marine is one that we have at our dealership. And White River Marine is a boat group that owns Tracker, Ranger, Tahoe boats, Sun Tracker pontoons, Mako boats. So they are the Johnny Morse, you know, affiliate of the boat industry. And that's White River Marine is one of Johnny Morse's companies. And they offer their own financing, and they partner with Toyota. But they are a national lender is what I mean by that. So when you have subpar credit scores, sometimes it's a little bit tougher to be able to get financed with those national lenders. And in that situation, I would tell you that, you know, I always try to direct my customers that are in that particular situation. I say, hey, it's probably a good idea if we go to your credit union or your bank that you bank with, because you're already banking with them. They have pretty much all your funds, all your finances on file. They know what you got in your bank, you know, account, and they're more likely to make a loan with you, and it'll be a lot easier for you as a consumer to go through them. So that is definitely that's really kind of a number one option if you are subpar on credit, you know, credit scores in 2024. Then, you know, maybe try going to your bank or your credit union ahead of walking into a dealership and try to get pre-approved for, you know, X amount of dollars. So I would tell you as a consumer to touch and to add on to that is kind of have a reasonable, you know, or a realistic expectation of where you want to be price-wise on a boat and what you want to pay per month on a boat when you're walking into a dealership or before you walk into a dealership. Let me say that. Oftentimes I see so many people, they come in and they want to know, hey, yeah, man, they're asking for a $60,000-$70,000 boat, but they want a $200 boat note. Well, guys, that's just not realistic. You know, that's not, if you do any kind of basic math, the numbers are not going to add up to what you want with what the price of that boat is. So what I mean is have a realistic expectation, have a realistic budget of what you can afford, and get on a payment calculator, you know, before you even come into a dealership, and just kind of play with some numbers at work, at home, wherever you have some free time. Plug in an amount, plug in an interest rate, and we'll talk about interest rates here in a second, what to expect on that. But plug in some of that information into just a payment calculator on your app, on your phone, smartphone, and it'll give you some numbers, guys, to give you a reasonable idea of what a note would be on a boat based on the amount that you put in. So if you kind of do some of that homework, then you're not wasting your time when you walk into a dealership, you know, wondering whether or not you could afford that new boat as you get ready to buy one. Because I know what happens in that situation. You get fired up and you get excited. You say, hey, I want to go buy a new, you know, a new Go Devil, for instance. You know, we sell Go Devil at our dealership. So, hey, I want to go, you know, I've done all my research on what I want to buy. I settled on Go Devil. I want to go buy a new Go Devil. And then, man, I know they run about, you know, $25,000 or whatever the price may be. And then you come into the dealership all excited, pumped up, ready to get the process going. And in the meantime, you had no idea what a note was going to run you. You know, you had no idea how much money, you never given any thought to how much money you want to put down or what a lender might require on a boat in that price range. Basically, you just haven't done your homework in that situation, you know, and then you get disappointed because you can't get approved and you end up starting back at square one or you leave the dealership feeling disappointed because you couldn't, you know, you couldn't get anything that was affordable for you. And oftentimes the dealer in that situation, they get the blame. They get guys that are pissed off at them. And in reality, you really never had a shot from the get-go because you didn't know what your budget was. You didn't know what to expect to put down or what you wanted to put down. All of that stuff that goes into buying, you just didn't do the homework, guys. So I would tell you, don't be that guy. Go into if you're looking at purchasing a new boat, go into a dealership and you know, kind of have that homework done before you get there, having an idea of what you could afford and where, and you know, that'll definitely help streamline the process for you, you know. So, you know, talking about interest rates, we briefly talked about, I mentioned that in a comment just now. So interest rates, what is realistic interest rates in 2024 for a new boat or a pre-owned boat? Well, I can tell you this much, guys. We had the lowest rates of the year just a couple of weeks back when we did our in-house boat show at my dealership. And when I say that, the lowest interest rates that I've seen in quite some time were starting at about 6%. So 6% interest rate, 6 to 7. Let's just say that to be safe. 6 to 7% is a low interest rate in 2024. You know, now I do hear people tell me, they'll say, well, I could get a lower interest rate in my credit union. Well, I can tell you that, you know, you may be able to. That's a possibility. But in a second, I'll explain the trade-off there and what a lower interest rate at your credit union may be as compared to what the dealership could do for you. So 6 to 7%, I'm sorry, is the lowest interest rate that I've seen. But before the boat shows and before now, since we're in boat show season, before that, interest rates were typically running about 8 to 9% starting out, guys, with good credit. Starting out. Let me say that again. So that means, you know, you had to have pretty much A plus credit to be able to qualify for that 8 or 9%. And if you didn't have A plus credit, then it kind of went up from there. It's that, you know, it kind of trickle up. So you may be somewhere in the ballpark of 11%, 12%, and you have pretty good credit still. You know, does that suck? Yes, it does suck. But that's just the world we in 2024. It's different than it was 6, 7 years ago, where you were seeing interest rates at 4%, 5% on recreational boat loans. Those days are gone now for the most part, guys. Unless something major changes, you will not see 4 or 5% in most cases, you know. Now, I'm not saying that they aren't out there if you really do your homework and search for them. And maybe there are some lenders that will touch that. But I could tell you, I haven't come across one in about 2 years now that's in that range. And like I said, our dealership works with local credit unions. We work with national boat lenders. And they're all pretty much neck and neck with each other right now. And that's where they've been at. So, you know, if you're expecting to get 3%, 4%, stuff that you see possibly like a vehicle Ford Motor Credit, for instance, might be running 1.9% or 3%. Well, they may be doing that in the automobile side to try to move some vehicles, but they are not doing it on recreational. Now, the question comes into play a lot of times. They say, well, why are recreational rates higher than what automobiles are? People oftentimes will think that the rates are very similar, that, okay, well, I got this on my truck. I get customers all the time that'll tell me, they'll say, well, man, that's outrageous for a boat rate. You know, I got good credit. I qualified for 3% or I qualified for 1.9. Well, let me tell you this, guys, recreational and automobile rates are not the same, and you're not going to see them even close to each other typically. And a simple answer to why are recreational rates higher than automobile rates is because of the repossession rates and how many of these things don't get paid for and get repossessed by the banks, guys. They are taking a much higher risk with a boat than they are with a vehicle because it is recreational. And what do I mean by that? Well, you need a vehicle to go to work. You know, most Americans need a vehicle to go to work to get there to earn a paycheck and provide for their family. They do not need a boat to get to work. So you see what I mean right there? It's a luxury to own a boat. And in 2024, rates on recreational are higher, or let me not just say 2024, because that's always been the case. Recreational, anything that has a higher repossession rate, such as campers, boats, motorcycles, any of that type of stuff, golf carts, any of that stuff typically will carry a higher interest rate. And that is the difference between recreational items and vehicles, you know, stuff That is necessity. Look at it as necessity. So these banks, how many times you pass in front of these payday loan places and you see a bass boat sitting out in front of them for sale? Well, they got repossessed, guys. That's somebody that bought that, got financed for it, used it for a while, lost interest in it, and then they just stopped paying for the damn thing. And then it got repossessed. They didn't care if they can't pick it up. Some people care about if their credit takes a hit, and there is a lot of people that don't care if their credit takes a hit. So interest rates, definitely not the same when you're looking at automobiles and recreation, and especially here in 2024, that's the case to this day as well. So that's what you could expect as far as interest rates goes right now, guys. I would tell you probably the best you're going to come across typically is about 6% right now on a boat loan, whether it's any style of boat that you're going to buy, a hunting boat, a fishing boat, whatever it is, work boat. It's going to be somewhat in that range starting out if you catch it on a boat show weekend, possibly, where they're running special rates. But if it's not a boat show weekend, there's nothing special going on, then you could probably expect starting somewhere in the range of about 8-9%. And you know what I was talking about, going back and doing your homework, I gave you the advice to go ahead and plug it into a payment calculator. If I was you guys, I would look at plugging in about 8-9%, just to overshoot. If your credit's, A-plus credit and you know you're going to get better than that, great. Still factor it in at 8-9% to make sure that you're covered and that if you do come back a little bit higher, that you expected it, because that, another thing that I could tell you from personal experience is I'm not a finance guy by any means, but finance is one of the most trickiest things and the most baffling things that I have seen over the years. You'll have somebody that comes in that has excellent credit, but then they don't qualify for A-tier, A-plus tier credit. Well, there's other factors that these banks and these credit lenders look into. They look at debt to income ratio as well. Yeah, you make a lot of money. Yeah, you have a good credit score, but you have excess amount of debt or loans on boats, sheds that you're building at your house, shops that you're building at your house, whatever it may be, your home mortgage, car loans, all that stuff. They take all that into effect as well. It's not only what your credit score shows. So sometimes you have an excellent credit score because you pay your bills, and you pay everything on time. Credit score is good. But you have so much in extra stuff that ratio is thrown off, and that definitely plays into buying a boat in 2024 as well, guys. So understand that. But when you're playing with that payment calculator, shoot for that 8-9% somewhere in there if you got excellent credit, and then that way you'll be covered if you do come back somewhere closer to those numbers. So another question that we get quite often and something to talk about is in 2024, if you're looking to purchase a new or use both down payments. That's always a hot topic button that people, want to talk about. So people often ask, they say, hey, can I do like a vehicle loan? Can I put no money down on a boat just like I can on a vehicle? Well, the simple answer to that is it's a possibility, but it's very rare. So, you would have to qualify for that A-plus tier credit, be excellent in credit, and that's still not 100% given that they're going to require no money down or not ask money down from you. Once again, why do they require money down? Because it is say it with me, guys, it is a recreational vehicle, high repossession rate on these things, on boats and all that type of stuff. So they like to see some money down up front. That way they know that they've at least collected some of that money up front from you in case you decide not to pay this thing off or to let them come and pick it up, guys. They want to have some of that money down up front. Now, what is the normal down payment? What to expect in 2024 when you're looking at purchasing a new or used boat as far as the down payment goes? Well, I can tell you very comfortably, guys, and you could be looking at 10% down. That's the minimum amount in most cases that most lenders are going to require from you on a new purchase or a used purchase, whether it's either one of those. So 10% down. So if you're looking at a $50,000 boat in 2024, then expect to bring or put down $5,000 cash on the deal, guys, up front. And that's the minimum amount. That's most case scenario. Most cases, that's the scenario in that situation is 10% is going to be efficient enough. And with good credit, you'll have no problem getting approved in most cases. Now, can you put more money down? Of course. Yes, you can. can you, if you don't have 10%, can you put a little bit less down and still get approved? Yes, in some situations. If you got good credit score, debt to income ratio looks really good, and you have, you know, you can't come up with quite 10%, maybe it's 8%, maybe it's 6%. There are lenders out there that'll possibly take that gamble and give you the approval on a new boat or a pre-owned boat. So that is a possibility, but in most cases you can expect 10%. That's what you're going to be looking at. And that's just the situation for the most part, for most lenders. Now, you know, when you're talking about, you know, other aspects that go into the buying process in 2024, used versus new. Well, a lot of what I've told you here was pertaining to new boat purchases, but and on the flip side of it, to used boats as well, guys. So what sets used boats a little differently if you're looking at buying possibly a pre-owned boat? Well, a pre-owned boat, what you need to really focus on if you're looking to get approved through a dealer, is that the boat is not older than about 10 years old, somewhere in that range. Once it gets to about 11, 12 and beyond years old, then a lot of the lenders will, or at least the big lenders, will not finance them because of the age of the boats. Once again, they're expecting things to go wrong. Hey, you know, there's a big gamble that motor could give out, that, you know, the boat's getting older, there's going to be issues with it. And, you know, there's stuff that could happen. So once they get old, you know, older, I don't want to say old, because yes, a 10-year-old boat is old or 11-year-old boat is old, but that don't mean it's not in great running condition. But once they get to that age, the national boat lenders, as far as financing goes, tend to kind of stay away from those. They'll have a cutoff on them. Every now and then you will see about them, some, you know, lenders go out to about 12 years on it, but it's very rare. Most of the time it's going to be somewhere in that 10-year mark. Now, once again, if you are in that situation, and a lot of dealers, like I know us, we'll look for, if we get boats that are older and they're in great shape and they're good running boats, whether it's a mud boat or whether it's a bass boat, whatever the type is, it doesn't really matter to us. Then yeah, we'll take them. We'll purchase boats from an individual. We'll also take them on trade. That doesn't stop us at all. So we'll oftentimes on the lot have older boats because they are more affordable for most people to afford, especially in an economy like we are now. So they'll be more affordable for a consumer, you know? So what we do, once again, is we kind of just direct them to their own bank or credit union, and we try to make it as easy as possible. So in that situation, if you're working with a good dealer, guys, what a good dealer is going to say is, hey, look, have your bank or your credit union contact us. And instead of you having to run to your credit union, bring paperwork back and forth, basically be the middleman of the whole deal to get the deal done, your dealership, if they're a good, reputable dealer and want to help you out, they're going to have the bank contact them, or they're going to contact your bank on your behalf. And, you know, you just let them know, hey, I'm looking at purchasing a boat from this dealer, you know, and I need to get approved for it, you know. So what are they going to request? That's the next thing. What if you're going to your bank or your credit union, what do you need to have to be able to present to the dealership to make that purchase in 2024? Well, what they're going to need, your credit union, when I say that, or your bank, they're going to need a purchase order from a dealer. Okay. So that a purchase order is not just a scratch piece of paper written out with some pricing on it. It is an official document from the dealership with serial numbers, VIN numbers, a breakdown of the price of the boat, motor, trailer, and most lenders are going to require an NADA value to be included with it, that purchase order, and submit it to them so it could go to their underwriters to get you approved. That's the way it works, guys. So, you know, a lot of times you could eliminate wasting time by having that, reaching out to the dealer that you want to work with and saying, hey, can you provide me with a purchase order? And also the serial numbers, VIN numbers for the boat, motor, trailer, so I could give it to my credit union, or can you put that together so I can have my credit union contact you? And if you could do that, I'm telling you right now, guys, that will help you so much in the efficiency and the time spent trying to get you approved on a new boat or a pre-owned boat in 2024. In this case, we're talking pre-owned because the boat's a little bit older. But that does apply to new boats as well. If you decide to go to your bank or credit union, And it also applies to newer used boats, you know, or that are, you know, newer. I said used boats. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. So it could be a pre-owned boat that's just a couple of years old. Any of those, if you're going to your bank or credit union, if you could get that information from the dealer ahead of time, that way they could present it to your credit union, or you could bring it over to your bank or credit union. It streamlines the process completely, guys. It makes it so much easier. Your bank's going to appreciate it. The underwriters are going to appreciate it, and they will work on your deal much quicker, much faster, because you have all your ducks in a row, and they will get you an approval much faster than if you have to go searching for all that, or they have to make the calls to the dealership, all that information. So trust me on that. It streamlines your process. It gets you an approval much quicker, because let's be honest, whenever you decide to pull the trigger on a new boat or a used boat, and you say, hey, I'm going to the dealership to get it, you want to get it today, you want to get it tomorrow, or you want to get it by the weekend when you have the weekend off to be able to take it out, right? Well, don't show up at the dealership on a Friday afternoon, not have none of this ready to go, or, you know, any of your homework, like we talked about, prepared, and expect to leave with a boat that afternoon like you do at a car dealership. Typically, boat dealerships don't often function that way. So once you get approved, most dealers will then put you into their rigging process or their line of other boats that are getting ready, scheduled to go out. And they will run it through their shop. They're going to check over the boat. They have a PDI list that they're going to go through and check everything out on that boat before you take possession of that boat, in order so that when you pick up your new boat or your pre-owned boat, it is ready to go and you can head to the water safely and soundly in that position at that time. So it's all about preparation, guys, when you're buying a new boat or a pre-owned boat. And, you know, it's been like that for years, but 2024, with lenders being so tight on the lending and it being a little bit tougher on the lending than it has been in years past, then having all that stuff in order is efficiently, and it'll help you so much more, guys, in making that purchase. So that is what you want to try to do, is have your homework done, have that out the way. Have your purchase order and all that ready for your lender. If you're buying that used boat, the dealer could send it over to them, or you could pick it up from the dealer. You could bring it over to your branch that you bank with, and you could get that approval, hopefully, as fast as possible, guys. Now, another thing, let's say you're in a situation where you do get declined, you know, by a bank. Then that's not the end of the world, guys. That is not the end of the world if you get declined by a particular bank. There are lenders that I will see that will decline for just about everything. And then you send it to another lender and they accept it first time it goes in. So, and you kind of sitting there as a dealership scratching your head saying, man, what the fuck? You know, how is that so easy with them, but it wasn't with them? Like I said, finance makes no sense when it comes to boat financing, recreational financing. Sometimes it makes absolutely no sense. So that, you know, don't get discouraged if you get declined by a deal or by a lender. Let me not say a dealer, because it's not the dealers that are actually saying, yes, you're approved, or no, you're declined. It's going to be a bank, a financial institution that makes that decision, and they're going to relay that answer to the dealer. And then the dealer has to play the bad guy in that situation. He has to tell you, no, you were declined. But if, once again, if you're working with a reputable dealer, you're working with somebody that's been doing it a long time, then you know, they'll know to try to send you to somebody else. So a question at that point, a lot of people ask, is they say, well, if I got to send it to somebody else, does my credit take a hit again? Yes. The answer is yes. I'm just going to be honest with you on that. The answer is yes. You do have to run a credit check again. Anytime you run a credit check with a different, you know, lender, they are going to, you know, take a little hit on your credit. Now, is it significant? No, it is not significant in most cases, guys. If you've got good credit, hopefully you're not getting a decline from a lender to begin with, and you don't have to go to a second lender. But if you are in that situation and something's not quite right and it kicks it as a decline and you got to go to somebody else, then yes, you could expect them to run the credit again. It will take a little hit on the credit, but it's nothing that's going to hurt you long term for any long period of time. Hopefully, at least, you know, that's typically not going to be something that we see. But that is a possibility. But the answer to that question is yes, you will have to run that credit again. It will take a little hit again. That's just part of the process if you want, you know, to make that purchase bad enough, guys. So don't get discouraged if you do get declined. But hopefully you're in a situation where you get that approval first go around and you don't have to worry about it. So So let's see. Let's, just to recap, we kind of talked a little bit about new and used. Let's talk a little bit. Let's kind of delve into that also as well. When we're looking at, you know, I talked at the beginning of the podcast about when you're looking to purchase a new boat in 2024, chances are you're going to be one of two buyers. You're going to be a pre-owned buyer or you're going to be a new boat buyer. So if you're in between, what are some of the things that, you know, people who want to buy new, some of the myths that are out there that they don't necessarily want to even look at pre-owned? I'll tell you what some of the things that I typically hear. And the number one comment or little saying that I hear people say is, I don't want somebody else's junk. And, you know, I have to agree with you on that in a lot of cases, but that is not always the case. And an example of that is that, you know, for my dealership does a really good job with that. There are dealerships out there that are reputable and there are dealerships out there that are not reputable. And that's been like that for years and years and years. And it's still the same case in 2024, guys, if you're looking to buy new or used. So first of all, if you've done your homework, hopefully you're dealing with a reputable dealer. But when a customer tells me, well, I don't want to buy somebody else's junk, but I hear them also tell me, well, I'm on, you know, so I have been looking new. I'll say, well, I understand that, you know, that you don't want to buy somebody else's junk. But Mr. Customer, you know, if a dealer is a good, reputable dealer, then this is typically what happens with our pre-owned inventory is that, hey, it comes into us. We evaluate it from, you know, from the start to make sure that it's a good investment for us as a dealership. We correct any little things that we see fit that could be, you know, hazardous issues or safety issues, any of that type of stuff. We get it back and working in good condition. It goes through our shop and then we don't put it out until all that stuff is done on our lot. So when it hits our lot, Mr. Customer, it is ready to go. It is everything has kind of been addressed that we see as a major factor that needs to be addressed in order to sell it and put you out on the water safely. That's typically how I put it to them. And they'll say, oh, okay, because a lot of people, I think a lot of consumers that are looking to buy a boat, especially pre-owned, they look at it and they say, man, what's happened to this boat? Just like if you bought it from an individual. When you buy it from an individual, we all know the taillight warranty, guys. You get a taillight warranty with it. And if you don't know what a taillight warranty is that old joke goes, is that once it hits the edge of that seller's driveway, when you pick it up from him at his home, then that boat is out of warranty. He has nothing left to do with it. How many times have you been in a situation that that has possibly happened to you? Hopefully, you haven't been in that situation, but I talked to a lot of customers that it has, guys. And I talked to customers that that's happened with certain dealerships, like I said, that aren't very reputable. Well, guess what? That dealership is not going to be there long term. I promise you that. They will not be there long term if that's how they handle their business. But if you're dealing with a reputable dealer, going pre-owned is not a bad thing, especially when you're on a budget in 2024, guys. Look at their pre-owned and ask them, when you visit that dealership, ask them, say, what is your process when you take in a used boat as a dealer? What do you do to your used boats? And see what that salesman tells you whenever you talk to him about that. If he starts stuttering and he don't really have a good answer for you, the chances are they're probably just flipping boats. They're taking a boat in used and they don't pay a whole lot of attention to it. They put it up for sale immediately and they try to make a profit and move it down the road. If they take the time to explain to you, hey, we do this to our boats, this is what it has to go through, the process it goes through, or they say, hey, let's walk on over to our shop, we'll introduce you to, you know, our service manager, and he'll explain to you what we do with our pre-owned boats, then guys, that's a dealership that is being transparent with you, and that's the type of dealership that you want to do business with. And in most cases, guys, if it is a little bit more expensive than another dealer who you're not getting that attention from, then it's probably worth it because they are going to take care of you if there is an issue with it. You know, so just little things like that make a huge difference if you're a pre-owned buyer in 2024 going out to buy a pre-owned boat. Okay. So hopefully that helps you a little bit there. Now, I had another point. I'm going blank. I'm sorry. I do apologize for that. But I want to make sure that I stress that enough, guys. Reputable dealer, pre-owned boats, if they're doing it right, they're going to do it right from the beginning before the customers even step on the lot with the product that they got that is pre-owned. You know, in our situation, we're privately owned. We're not owned by a big corporation, nothing like that. So when we purchase a boat from an individual, or we take a boat on trade, which is the same thing, when you purchase it from an individual, then it's his money that is coming out of his pocket to purchase those boats that we got to sell. So he's pretty skeptical, and he wants to know what's wrong with the boats when they come in, if anything is wrong with the boats. And if it is, he wants it addressed, you know, and we factor that into what we price the boats at and what we ask from a customer or from a consumer price-wise. So we want to make sure it's done right. And that makes a huge difference, you know, to you as a consumer. Trust me, that's little things that you don't necessarily think about, but it makes all the difference in the world, guys. So I'm proud to say that I do work for a dealer who cares about that, that is reputable. And my dealership has been in business since the early 80s. They've been around a long time doing this in South Louisiana. So I am proud to say that we do a good job of that. And me as a salesman, I'm involved in that. The salesman that I work with, we're involved in the buying process. We're the ones who go out, look for boats and stuff to buy to be able to sell you as the consumer in on the pre-owned market. So we try to find stuff that's in good shape, because it's not only is it more reliable, it's going to be less issues after the sale, but it's also easier for us to sell it to you and have confidence in that product, that it's a good solid product for you to be able to buy. And it moves the buying process along, guys, because at the end of the day, let's just be honest, the more boats I sell, the more money I make for my family as well. But I don't want to put you out there and have the reputation of putting you out in a product that is not safe for you, you know, or that is going to possibly hurt you and your family if you go out boating in it. A reputable person doesn't want that on their conscience. So choosing the correct dealer is a big part of this scenario, guys, and a big part of the puzzle. So yeah, pre-owned, don't be worried about pre-owned if you're working with a reputable dealer. Interest rates, all that stuff's typically going to run right around the same as what we talked about on new stuff. And that's just something that's pretty much how it is in 2024, guys, as far as that goes. Now, one other thing I want to talk about, guys, as far as boats before we wrap it up is, okay, maybe you're not buying a boat from a dealership. Okay. Maybe you're looking at purchasing a custom built boat. And I know here in Louisiana, we have a bunch of custom boat companies. You have, you know, friends like our sponsor here on the show, Charlie Perilou with Game Changer Boats. Charlie builds custom hunting and fishing boats, you know? So he's one of those companies out there that builds custom boats for our customers. Now, for those of you who don't know what I mean when I say custom boats, basically, you could go to these companies and you could say, have a draw up and say, hey, I want a boat that is laid out like this. You know, it's got compartments here. It's got a deck extended here. It's got a hunt deck on the back, you know, all that type of stuff. So you'll go to these companies and they will customize and fabricate a boat that is built to your specifications and your engineering skills, I guess you could say, of what you could come up with. So that is very, very common, especially in the hunting world, guys. Us waterfowl hunters, there are a lot of guys out there and a lot of you listening to the show right now that have had your boats custom built by somebody. Now, you know, if you've already been in that situation, you know that the financing and all that type of stuff is a little bit different in some cases, because it depends on who you deal with that's building your boat. And a couple of things that I mean when I say that, who you're dealing with is, okay, yes, they can fabricate a boat, but are they a supplier of a motor to put on the back of that boat? Are they a supplier of a trailer to put under that boat? That's going to be something that you're going to run into with custom boat builders, guys. So, you know, some custom boat builders have partnerships with companies like Go Devil, Gator Tail, you know, ProDrive. And they can put a certain mud motor on their boat because they partner with them and they supply them with motors as they need them for their boats that they build. Same thing with trailers. Or, you know, they might be a partner of or a dealer for McLean trailers, Magic Till trailers, you know, whatever the name is, Backtrack. There's tons of companies out there. And they may partner with, one of those companies or technically a dealer for those companies that can put that product all together and have it done when the boat is built. But oftentimes what you're going to find, guys, with custom boat builders is that they don't have that capability a lot of times. So what you may end up having to do is they may say, hey, okay, I could build this boat for you, but you're going to have to find a trailer for it and you're going to have to find a motor for it to be able to put onto it. Now, I could do that for you once you buy that stuff, but I don't offer a one-stop shop to where I could package all that together for you, you know? So that is something that you're going to have to consider. You may have to do a little bit more legwork if you're dealing with a custom boat builder. If he doesn't have some sort of scenario where he's partnering with some of these companies, motor companies, and these trailer companies. And then when that comes into play, then the financing kind of shifts and changes, okay? You may have to get a boat loan for the boat only, or a signature loan, a different type of loan. Your bank or credit union may not offer a boat loan for just the hull. You know, another thing that I mentioned earlier was that a lot of times the banks look at NADA values whenever a dealer submits a purchase order to them, because they want to know that they're not lending out an amount to a customer more than what the boat is actually worth on the market. So a lot of custom boat builders don't have NADA values that they could provide. They're not listed on NADA. So that could sometimes play a part into your financing aspect of it. You may not be able to apply for a traditional boat loan. You may have to go with something like a signature loan, just a little basic loan, personal loan. So when you go that route, that point, you know, so it could affect. And I'm not saying that it will. I'm just saying I have seen that in certain situations. So it could play out a little bit differently than when you're looking at a traditional boat loan. So keep that in mind as well, guys. What else do we have? So, you know, like I said, if you could get that boat builder and he has that partnership, great. But if he doesn't, then you may have to look at financing that boat separately. You may have to look at going and financing that mud motor separately. You may have to do it in pieces to be able to package yourself together a package that you want to be able to use, guys. Now, it is getting a lot better with the custom boat builders. They are trying to partner with companies more and more nowadays, just so you don't have to have that trouble. And it also helps them, allows them to sell more boats that way, guys, when they have a one-stop shop for you. Excuse me, let me clear my throat, guys. But that is a possibility, and it is something now that is getting better and a little bit easier nowadays with all of that as well. So hopefully that's the case for you. So, because there's a lot of great custom boat companies out there that can build you a very good product, guys. And sometimes, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you, sometimes that's a better product as far as the way they're built, structure-wise, stability, you know, that type of stuff, than it is from a cookie cutter company that's out there. Now, you know, that's not to say that companies that are cookie cutter companies, like these bigger companies, don't build good product. They build more than sufficient enough product for most individuals out there that are boating, you know? So I'd say either way, whichever one you decide to fall on, my point is to educate you on what the possibilities are in 2024, as far as the financing goes, as far as what to expect when you're going to be making that purchase, and to just streamline the process for you guys. So I think that just about covers pretty much everything that I can, whether it's new, whether it's used, whether it's custom built. We've talked about interest rates. We've talked about down payments. One thing we didn't talk about is term-wise. What to expect term-wise? That's a big question that we get. So the average boat loan in 2024, guys, for recreational boat loans is 10 to 15 years. Most people do. Now, some people sit back and they say, wait, what? 10 to 15 years, you got to be crazy. I'm not financing a boat 10 to 15 years. Well, what happens in most cases, to be honest with you, is nowadays a lot of people, they almost treat it like a loan, almost like they're leasing it. Let me say that, not a loan, a lease. That's what I meant to say. And what I mean by that is that they'll finance a boat and they'll use it 2, 3, 4 years, maybe 5 years. And then they'll turn around and they'll flip it. They'll get out of that boat and they'll get into a new one. They'll get out of that boat, go to something else completely different, or they'll get out of the hobby completely and sell it, or whatever the case may be. So why 10 to 15 years? Well, with the prices nowadays of everything and it being recreational, once again, like I said, it's not like a vehicle that you use every day to go to work. You know, a lot of us, depending on where you are down south, it's a little different for us. We can pretty much boat year round, especially here in Louisiana. We're pretty much, you could fish, you could use it during hunting season, you could do it year round, have a boat, whether it's a hunting boat, recreational, or a fishing boat, you know, any of that type of stuff. But all you guys up north, you may be winterizing your boats, you know, so you know, not everybody uses their boat year round. So a lot of people don't want to have a high boat note half of the year or more than half the year when they're not using it. So they'll stretch those payments out to where they feel comfortable. It's something that they can manage, you know, efficiently with their finances. And then they'll use it throughout the summertime and then they'll put it away, you know? Or just another example I hear people say is they say, well, if something happens to my job, then I want to be able to, you know, have something to where I'm not, you know, I'm safe. I'm not comfortable paying that note. I'm not paying a $600-$800 boat note, you know, and I'm not using it year round. So that's why terms are typically longer on recreational, specifically in this case, boat loans, because it allows people to get those payments down, have some comfort there as far as finances go, and they use it as they use it because it's recreational. So that is the most common. Now, in this situation, the loans on those 10 to 15 year loans, they are simple interest loans, guys, so which means that they do not penalize you if you double pay on payments, if you pay it off early, that type of stuff. Most lenders now use simple interest loans, so you're not going to get penalized. So when I see customers that, like I say, kind of almost like they lease them, sometimes we'll see a scenario where they'll finance them 10 or 15 years, but then they pay it off in 5 years, or they pay it off in 4 or 6 years, whatever. And they'll just pay it off early and be done with it. You know, there is situations that we run into like that. So that's a possibility as well. But for the most part, terms 10 to 15 years. Typically, if you decide as a consumer that you tell the dealership, hey, I want to go shorter term, they'll go shorter term. That won't be an issue. They'll just adjust those payments and those notes, give you the new numbers, and then you're on your way at that point. Now, something else in regards to terms, and I'll kind of finish on this point right here, guys, that if you are looking at a credit union versus a national lender, and you're trying to keep your notes as low as you can and go as long as you can. So you, in other words, you're looking to go long-term, that 10 to 15-year term, or maybe say 12 to 15 years, somewhere in there, and you're looking to keep that note down because you need a longer term to do so, then oftentimes the credit unions are not the option that you want to go in that situation. And the reason being is because a lot of the credit unions will only do 7 to 10 years on financing. They and a while ago, if you heard me say, there's a trade-off sometimes with interest rates and with the credit unions and with the national lenders. That's the area I was talking about. So what I mean by that is a credit union may say, okay, I know rates have been at 7, 8, 9%, you know, 7%. Let's just use that as an example. But we'll offer it to you at 5%. You know, and you automatically like, that's a go. I like 5%. That sounds better. Let's do it. But then they come back and they say, but we'll only do 7 years. To where a national lender will do 10 to 15 years and you're at 7%. See where I'm going with that, guys? So it's kind of a trade-off. You know, yes, they'll go lower interest rate, but they do shorter term. So that note will be higher. To where a national lender, you may pay a little bit higher interest rate, but you could go longer term on it, get that note down. And then ultimately, if you don't want to pay that full term of interest, you just pay it off a little bit early. So that's going to be your big difference between your credit unions typically and your national lenders. Now, I will say that some of the credit unions are starting to stretch it out to 12 years. There's a couple out there that will do it, but it seems like it's not consistent all the time that they offer it. It's only at certain promotional times that they'll offer. So if you are a consumer in 2024 and you're going to your bank for credit union, or I mean to your bank, I'm tongue-tied, guys, to your credit union for a boat loan in 2024, then and you're worried about getting that note as low as you can and going longer term, then one of those things you need to do when you do your homework, like I talked about, is ask them what's the max term that they'll offer on a boat loan. Find that out from the get-go. If they're short term, you know, 7 years, 10 years, that may not be enough for you to get that note down to where you need in order to feel comfortable in your payment, guys. So keep that in mind, too. So that's probably the most common things that I hear from customers, the most common questions that I get from customers, guys. And I can tell you that, you know, it could be, I know some people, they feel uncomfortable when they go out there and they buy a boat. You know, and they worry about that type of stuff, you know, And it stresses them out to the point where they so concerned they hate going into the dealerships, you know? And that's just one of those things that I get, man. I don't like wasting time going into a car dealership. I try to have all my homework done, like I talked about, my homework, I'll say in quotations, like I talked to you guys about. And I try to make the process as painless and as quick as possible, because I cannot stand going into a car dealership and playing games with a salesman. And then you go talk to a finance manager, and then you go talk to a sales manager. Just a bunch of bullshit. I hate that process. And I think nowadays with the technology of shopping online and doing all that stuff online, it's definitely changed nowadays, guys. You could do a lot of this stuff and have the information at your fingertips to do your homework and make the process just a lot smoother, guys. So, well, hopefully, guys, if you're still with me, chances are that you're a serious person about buying a new boat in 2024 or a pre-owned boat in 2024. Hopefully, I've been able to shed a little bit of light on what to expect, make your buying experience a little bit smoother, and get you in and out of a dealership a lot quicker, man. So I hope it definitely helps you. And if you guys have questions, like I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, if you have questions that I didn't address in this podcast, then leave them down in the comments. If you're watching this right here on YouTube or on Facebook, leave it down in the comments, and I will get back to you guys and answer what I can for you. And answer it truthfully, guys, because that's what I'm here to do, is give you the honest to God answer to make your process, like I said, a lot smoother and a lot easier for you if you're looking at purchasing a new boat in 2024. I can tell you, the old saying goes, the two best days of buying a boat is whenever you buy the boat and when the day you sail the boat. And that is oftentimes very, very true, but there's nothing. There's a lot of fun when you're excited about buying that new boat and you get to go to that dealership or you get to go to that custom boat builder or wherever you're purchasing that boat from and be able to leave with that boat. And when you're rolling away, we all have had that feeling if you're a current boat owner, and it is an awesome feeling. You're excited. You're taking photos. You're calling your buddies. And then come hunting season, man, we all meet up in the woods. We meet up at the boat launches. Everybody's still kind of bragging about their new boats, showing their new boats. Dude, it's fun, man. That's what it's all about. It makes it fun. You get to bring the family out on the water. It is an awesome time to do, you know, with your family. If you want to get everybody together, get them outdoors, get them out from in front of the video games, the kids, get them in a new boat or a pre-owned boat. And you don't have to spend a lot of money doing it, guys. Yes, things are more expensive now. We all know that. But you can still find a lot of great budget buys out there. Like on Facebook Marketplace, that's a great place that we didn't talk about looking for pre-owned as well, buying from an individual. And I would just tell you, if you buy from an individual, guys, then take somebody with you that has a little bit of experience, a mechanic, if you know somebody, or even hire a mechanic from a boat dealership. There's guys that you can hire for an hour or two to go out there with you and check out a pre-owned boat from an individual. Take it to the water. Go run it before you buy it. To make the seller take you out and go run it with you. At least hook it to a water hose. Run the outboard on it. That type of stuff. The bare minimum stuff. Do that. Make a smart buying decision if you're buying it from an individual. And I promise you, it will help you in the long run. It's going to make your days on the water a lot more enjoyable. And you'll be able to spend a lot more days on the water instead of spending it at a mechanic shop, guys. So hopefully this helps. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And guys, as always, I can't do these episodes without our sponsors that help support us right here at Last Stop Waterfowl Outdoors Podcast. Right now, with it being fishing season, guys, you see my buddy Blake Benoit's logo up in the right-hand corner right here if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook. My buddy Blake Benoit, Benoit Performance Base, guys, he has all of your hand-poured plastics, whether it's crappie, sockele, like we call them here in Louisiana, I'll say sockele, or your bass fishing baits, hooks, crappie rods. Blake Benoit has it all, guys. He is a small business. He is a great guy. He has been a friend of mine now for several years when I got to meet Blake. And he has done so much, not only for his local community and the fishing industry, but for local high schools, for high school fishing, college fishing. He helped sponsor my son's high school fishing team whenever I didn't even ask him to do so, guys, because he's just that type of guy. He wants to see the kids involved, and it's been a great thing. He has always shown support for youth fishing. So get out there, go check him out, And if you go to his website and you enter in our code LASTSTOP, guys, you will receive 10% off of your order from Benoit's Performance Baits. So that is a great way to get Blake some business and get you some awesome fishing lures, guys. He's a great partner of the show, and we are so glad to call him not only a friend, but also a supporter of us right here at Last Stop Waterfowl. And another mention, guys, would it be in boat season, SRD20 Boat Products. My buddy Stuart Delcom over at SRD20, guys, he's on all the time talking about his products on social media. You see it right here, once again, in the corner. Go check them out. If you're looking to purchase that new or used boat this summer, like we've been talking about on this episode, then you definitely need some SRD20 boat care products, guys. They have the absolute best technology when it comes to protecting your boat, whether it's fiberglass, it's vinyl, it's metal, aluminum. I use it on my vehicles. I use it on just about everything. My high dollar ice chest, my coolers, all that type of stuff, guys. I use my SRD20 products on there, and they make a waterless wash and wax that is absolutely one of my favorite products I've ever used. And I'm in the boat industry for a living, guys. Don't forget, I see a million products come through the door. And when Stuart got me introduced to SRD20, I told him, true story, I told him, I said, Stuart, I'm not telling you just this just to tell you this. I said, you make the best product that I've ever seen out of everything that I've seen on the market today. Because I honestly thought it took less of it. You didn't have to put a whole bottle to make it look like it had been clean and protected. It took less, and it lasts longer than anything I'd ever seen. And then he came out with this waterless wash and wax, guys. You get back, you want to wipe down the boat after you took it on the water. You got a couple of stains, you know, water stains on the boat, stuff like that. I used to have to scrub for, you know, an hour or two after I got back home. I sprayed my waterless wash and wax on my boat, on my vehicle. Wipe it down real quick, and it protects it, cleans it, takes all that grime off the boat. It is absolutely awesome. And when I go back the next time, guys, it does not stick anymore to the boat like it used to, because this stuff is protects it, and it makes a bond on your boat that will last, and you will use less of it. You don't have to go through a ton of it, guys. So he has very affordable products. Also, you can find him on Amazon. You can find him on SRD20, his website. Go look him up on social media. Give him a follow. Give him a like. He'll appreciate it. But give him a shot, guys. I guarantee you will not be disappointed with him. Well, guys, that's all I got for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope this helped you out. And until next time, this is Jacob with Last Stop Waterfowl Outdoors. We'll talk again soon, guys. Y'all take care.